Welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. How are you all doing today? We are so glad that you are here with us. My name is Antonio. I'm here with Pastor Dan.
Hey, everybody.
How are you doing, Pastor?
I'm well. I'm doing really good. Well,
I'm excited about our conversation today. I know we roughly went through an idea of where we want to go, but we never know where it might take us.
Never know.
The rabbit trails.
Love them.
How are you doing?
I'm good. Enjoying, for those that are listening to this podcast later, we're recording mid-December.
Yeah.
And
yes.
California, December.
85 degrees.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
I was outside in the sun yesterday and it was actually so hot that I was looking for shade because it was burning.
Yeah, that is wild.
I think that to me is wonderful though. I know we keep coming back to this as a recurring theme in my life, but man, I absolutely love it. My wife was lamenting today. She's like, I want to wear my winter clothes. I'm like, no.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you buy clothes for layers and
I know it looks all good on you know, you get the emails from different companies and stuff that you bought a shirt one time and then they send you all their emails, you know, especially Black Friday and everything that's gone past. It's like I got inundated with
I have trouble buying clothes because I'm like, when will I ever wear that?
Never.
It's hard to buy an expensive piece that you'll wear maybe two or three times.
I think I wear coats more indoors than I do outdoors here because the air conditioning is so cold. You know, like I went into especially the bathroom in my office, it was like an ice box in there. I'm like, what is happening? I mean, you go outside, it's 85. Beautiful. Taking
it's
walks,
nice.
You know, doing stuff out there in
clear
nature
skies.
And yeah,
I have family in Seattle where it's dark when they go to work and it's dark when they get out because it, you know, and then I have family in Minot, North Dakota, where the other day it was -6 degrees.
Oh my goodness. See, I don't even know that number. Like, that doesn't compute.
It
in
just
my head.
It's kind of like a number on an app. That's what it just
looks.
Oh
yeah,
it's
look, it's
real.
-6. Yeah,
I have no context.
There's no such thing in my mind, you know. It's crazy.
Yeah,
I have never experienced that. I think, you know, maybe 32 is the worst in Big Bear.
Like,
you
literal
know?
Freeze. That's
went
to
up to
us
the
a
snow.
Literal
freeze. It's freezing.
You lived in the Midwest and you would get colder.
I lived in Oklahoma, for 2 years while we went to Bible college.
Yeah.
And they had it would dust snow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was beautiful.
Yeah.
When it, you know, the rest of the year, not so much,
right.
You know. And so we'd get that snow, but then they'd have this, you know, freezing rain.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was a new thing to me, like the black ice and stuff like that. I remember. The Bible college we went to is more traditional, and so when we went, they've since relaxed this, but they had a dress code policy.
Mm.
Men's were suit coat and ties, you know, that sort of a thing. And then for the women, they had to have pantyhose.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And a dress.
Yeah.
That sort of a thing. And so the girls would literally put on long johns, push them up their ankles, then put on their pantyhose so that you could see it under their dress.
Yeah,
you know, but they're wearing long johns underneath. And I remember Jessica was so happy that we got married before we went because she could hold onto my arm in the parking lot. But
otherwise
see girls,
whoosh,
I mean, they're just slipping and sliding, falling all over the place, you know.
Yeah.
And it was crazy.
No
so
fun.
Yeah, but then the wild thing about Oklahoma is it could snow in the same day. It could be in the 80s, like same day.
Oh,
it was
man.
Just wild weather, you know.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a trip.
And if it did snow and you were enjoying like the white snow all over everything, like
it could
later that day it'd be gone, you know. So it was like enjoy it while it's there because it's gonna be gone.
Do you have any cold weather stories?
Cold weather story. Well, yes. As a matter of fact, mostly driving.
Okay. Oh, black ice.
I mean, I didn't know how to drive in the snow.
Oh no, you have a story of here.
Here.
Do you remember your snow? Your driving in snow here in the mountains.
Do I remember?
And you were like. Like, remember, like, an angel saved you guys.
Oh, man. No, that was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we were up in Big Bear hanging out with the family.
Yeah.
And it started to snow.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. We took videos. We took pictures, all that kind of stuff. And then we realized we had to go down the hill. And so we started to make our way. And we took the back way,
mm-hmm.
which goes over the summit.
Yeah.
You know, Onyx Summit's up there. I think it's 9,000 feet or something like that. So you can go up. In the comment section.
Yeah,
so those of you fact checkers, you can fact check me what it is.
It's 8,000.
Yeah, 8,000, Pastor. So we're going over the summit, that sort of a thing. And I mean, it's coming down hard, and we don't have chains. We don't have four-wheel.
Yeah, right.
I think we had all-wheel at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not. It might have been our older car, but it was just the two-wheel drive. But we're going, and we're like, what are we going to do? And so we prayed. And right when we prayed, this massive fire vehicle, you know, like one of those big big trucks, you know, with like the double wheels and the back and all that kind of stuff, just pulls right out in front of us with flashing lights.
Yeah.
And we followed their tire marks
nice.
all the way over the summit. We got onto the other side, and right when we got on the other side where we started to drop beneath the snow level where it was rain, that vehicle did a U-turn and came back, and we just kept going down the hill.
So it was almost just for you guys. You got an escort.
We had an angelic escort in the form of this massive fire truck. Cool. But no, most of my other stories about sliding, you know, because I remember being in Oklahoma and it snowed. And so I was driving, and there was this, I'm probably doing 20 miles per hour, if that, you know what I mean? And there was this curve in the road that by our apartment right across the major street was where we worked. And so we were just driving from our apartment to work. Well, there was this little curve that went over, and then you cross the street and be at our work.
Yeah.
And so that curve, I started to turn the wheel, and the car just kept going the direction it was going. And I turned a little bit more, and it kept going the direction it was going. I turned it back straight, and then I turned it again.
Oh, my.
I hit the brakes. Yeah. Nothing worked. I just slid straight into the curb, and it cracked my hubcap. I was so mad. Oh, I was just beside myself because it was like my new car. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Wasn't that old. And so I was just all mad about that. And then I went up to visit Luke up in Redmond, Oregon.
Yeah.
And I remember we rented a car.
Yeah.
And so I'm driving, and the speed limit on the street was, I think it was 50 or something like that, but it's snowing.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm doing like 40.
Yeah.
You know? And again, not going that fast. And so I start to slow down. And then when I start hitting the brakes to really slow down, and I gave myself a long lead time too, because I'm not used to driving in the snow. But I could tell, man, we're not stopping. Like, there's no slowing down here. The brakes are not working. I'm just sliding. And there was a car stopped at an intersection. It was a T.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was like we were going to either hit the car, or if they got out of the way, we were going to go through and maybe go off the other side of the road if we didn't slow down. Yeah. So I'm just on the brakes. So I realize, like, I'm going to hit this car. So I just start honking the horn. Thankfully, the guy in front of me got a clue and just, you know, curved up to the side.
Yeah.
And we slid right through. And thankfully, we didn't go on the other side of the street. We just slid out into the street, and no one was coming this way. And so the guy just watched us, like, watched us slide right out. And then once the car actually did stop in the middle of the street, he let us go. And then he went, but I mean, it was just like,
so when you're driving, you're obviously thinking this, is everyone else kind of picking up? Or are you good at keeping your cool? Or you're like, guys, I can't stop. What is it? An external processor versus, is that what it would be?
Internal?
Like?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm pretty even keel. I'm good in emergency situations. Yeah. And I think part of that was in college. I took one of those first aid classes where they teach you how to keep your cool and breathe and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And even, I remember one of the guys that was working with our safety team for a while was a trauma counselor or something like that. And he said, if anybody ever shoves you or does something to you, he says, take a deep breath because you've already lost like 30% of the oxygen in your brain.
Oh, wow.
So for me, keeping a level head, breathing, keeping a rationale. And my dad was always even killed. Like, someone would come in with their limb hanging or something like that. And my dad would be like, all right, let's take care of this. You know, or my mom would be like, oh, my gosh, you know. So I've kind of kept that even keel. So it's like, hey, guys, brace for impact, you know.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people don't take me seriously in those moments.
Because you're not freaking out.
Because I'm not freaking out. I'm like, hey, we're going to die. And so if you're not right with Jesus, please say your prayers now.
Right. It doesn't sound intense enough.
Whatever. You know, but I mean, that's kind of just how I am. Right. So sliding and all that kind of stuff. I'm even keel. And then even my anger about the hubcap and stuff. Yeah. I wasn't like raging mad or anything.
Right, but you felt.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
It bugged
me. You know, I was. We're talking about this cold weather, and I was curious how we were going to segue into our topic.
Yeah.
But I think it goes perfectly because we are having a conversation about how, in some ways, we want it to be winter. Like, our expectation is
some
a little bit cooler.
Some people want winter.
And it's not.
It's not like C.S. Lewis where it's always winter but never Christmas.
Right. Yeah. Yes.
That's disappointing.
Because you're like, wait, what? You know, maybe one day I'll be in a white Christmas. Like, I think one of these days, I always Google, like, what cities have the highest chance of white Christmas. And they're usually like in Colorado mountains. I think Telluride.
Yeah. Let's go there.
I know, for real. But anyways.
Breckenridge.
What do we do when we have disappointments or unmet expectations? We go into something thinking one way, whether it be a holiday season or a physical season, or just we're in a time of life where we're kind of catching some L's, as the kid would say.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everyone, literally, is going to deal with disappointment on several levels throughout their lifetime. And, you know, what I think is crazy is that our expectations, as well as the imaginations, promote what we think we should be experiencing. And so when we have high expectations as well as a great imagination, if something doesn't happen, that can cause a disappointment that is a challenge to us. Mm. It's a challenge to our thinking.
Yeah.
And with that, frequency of disappointment, because there may be several all in a row, yeah, in a series, you know, it may be, just even looking at the prayer list here at our church, there are people who are dealing with personal finance issues, evictions, marital problems, deaths in the family, and health challenges, yeah, all just for one household, mm-hmm, right? Then you look around and you're disappointed in the government. You're disappointed in the current state of things on yeah, the planet.
Yeah.
You're disappointed in friendships or relationships or what you have or don't have, you know, those types of things. And so when you compound that, that's where you get people that the discouragement becomes depression.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Depression can come to stress. If you allow it, you can actually enter into personal crisis.
Yeah.
And that's where I believe the devil starts to come in with things like suicide, extreme measures of drugs, alcohol, abuse, escapism, you know, things like that, where people will just abandon a family or abandon a job or, you know, do something crazy. I think that the same thing could be said of people in their quote unquote midlife crisis. You know, we kind of have seen people as they get into their 40s, their expectations of where they should be and their imagination of what life would be like, they enter into a period of disappointment. Is this all there is? Mm, is this what I'm working for?
Yeah.
And because of that, they start to have a personal crisis. They get depressed, and then it turns into distress, and that turns into, a distraction. What do I want to do? And that's where adultery, you know, these affairs come in and things like that. It comes into excessive spending. I used to joke that my midlife crisis would be a Corvette, you know, like, why not? You know, if I'm going to have it, that's better than other negative things.
Yeah.
You know, spend $100,000 on a car, you know, why not? But really, I mean, we've seen it over the years. People will switch jobs to see if that's something that's going to help them, and really, expressions of perversions or different things can come out of those times, you know, drug abuse, alcohol abuse, addictions can form in those times. Yeah. And that's where you wonder why you see like housewives and, you know, some certain area, you know, the suburbs, they have a great life. Why are they on drugs?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why are they taking prescription pills? Why are they doing what they're doing? Well, here's the reason why, is because they're depressed, they're discouraged, and it's turned into distress.
Yeah.
And now that negative expression has come out of them, and you're seeing these behaviors that are not matching the person or the personality even.
Yeah. Well, you know, let me ask, because I feel like we could easily say, well, if you're a Christian, that wouldn't happen to you. But what are either the guardrails, or what's the reverse engineering of even how a believer can either quickly or sometimes very subtly and slowly find themselves going down this trap? Because it'd be nice to say, oh yeah, that's for
that's
the
a
birds,
worldly
right?
Thing.
That's
yeah.
that's a worldly thing. I know. I mean, some of my testimonies, I found myself in what I could only now identify in a time of depression. But at the time, because of my my faith upbringing, the kind of the way that we were raised, I would have never landed there, because I'm a Christian. I can never say verbalize the word depression or any, because I just got to faith it, you know, or I got to, you know, I did not even always have the language, but I just knew that's not for us as believers. But now I can look back like, oh, there was a season, and then you can kind of reverse engineer. So what, maybe can we watch out? What does that look like? And then what are some things along the way that maybe can
sure. No, first of all, is that, you know, most of the examples that I used from things that not that you're seeing out there in the world,
right?
Because it's definitely there, you know, but a lot of it you see in the church.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's some telltale signs, things like dissatisfaction,
right,
whether it's with a marriage, you know, we have people in our offices that we talk to that I'm not happy with this marriage. Well, you've been married for 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong? You guys have been here this long.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's going on? And you can see their dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction with the job. You know, like I talked about switching jobs, where you've got a stable income, you've got something going. Now, I understand, like, there may be a dream, there may be a passion. And if it's a God thing, definitely. But don't quit your day job. You know what I mean? Like, hustle.
Yeah.
Get that thing going and provide for your family in the meantime. But we see people just abandoning their current position to go and chase something. And you see them ruin the financial stability of their home based on whatever's going on the inside of them.
Yeah.
The other thing that we oftentimes see is that people will literally sabotage their own good.
Yeah.
So at the level that they're feeling on the inside, they start to tear down and destroy things on the outside. And so all of a sudden you'll see their relationships with friends. I don't know what's wrong with so-and-so, but man, they're just in a mean spell. You know, I'm staying away from them. I can't handle that toxicity. Well, it could be that they're in a period of discouragement and depression. And because of that, they want everyone else to feel what they're feeling. And they want, you know, misery loves company. And so they may be destroying relationships and things around them in order for them to feel okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just me. Everybody feels this way.
Yeah.
Well, no, they don't. You've just alienated everyone and discouraged everyone to where they don't want to talk to you. And so now you're isolating and even insulating. I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want, you know. So, you see people, they'll stop showing up to church, stop showing up to you know, their small group even relational activities, family events, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just sick right now. I can't make it, you know, and the excuses come out. I'm not feeling well. I got a headache. I had a long week and this and that. And you see that stuff start to happen. So, you know, and definitely trying to fill in that void with other things. And so those are some of the indicator lights, if you will. And it's, you know, the good news is that, like we started with, everyone goes through this.
Yeah.
Everyone, literally everyone.
Right.
If someone's going to do something wrong, you're going to be disappointed in a person. You're going to be disappointed in the world. You're going to be disappointed in a process or something that you tried. Even your own prayers that you prayed that you expected God to move on. And when it doesn't happen, you're going to feel disappointment.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why I say it's good news that everyone experiences this is because that means that the people in the Bible experienced it too.
Yeah, that's good.
And that means that we have examples of what they went through and how they processed and even how they made it through those things, right? So, for instance, some disappointments in the Bible. Jonah, I think it's a great one.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to those people.
Right.
I don't like those people. Mm-hmm. They don't fit my type of people that I want to be ministering to.
Right.
And God, you just leave them to themselves, and I'll just go to Tarshish, right?
Yeah.
And so he was disappointed in the call and the assignment that God was giving him. Then when he preaches to them and they all repent, he's disappointed in the fact that they're not going to be wiped out. God, I thought, you know, at least if you were going to make me do this, at least wipe them out. You know, do what you said you were going to do, but I guess you're rich in mercy and kind and compassionate.
God forbid.
Yeah, and so here God gives them a living example of this little branch that grows up in a leaf that gives him some shade, and so he's so happy, but then a worm eats the branch and the leaf withers, and all of a sudden he's mad. Okay, God, just kill me because it's hot out here. It's like California in the winter, you know. and so we see he's disappointed in a little leaf, and God has to come and give him some real correction, like, hey, shouldn't you be happy?
Yeah.
Right? The whole point of this thing was that these hundreds of thousands of people who don't know the right hand from their left, which Jonah, you should be encouraged, like, hey, you had the right assessment. These people are not great people, right?
Yeah.
They don't know their right hand from their left. They're simple.
Yeah.
Right? And so that expression is going to be the wrong expression. They're ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
But look at the repentance.
Yeah.
And how much more value are they than a little twig, a little shade, right? Yeah. These people are valuable. Plus the sheep and the cattle and all that. God throws all this stuff in, you know, that's good about it. And so, you know, we can see that for us, when we encounter disappointments, is it right for us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the question God asks. Is it right? And we can say, I'm totally justified, right? I'm totally justified. But if we boil it down and we look at what God is asking, if God is even asking the question, then obviously we have to think about, okay, it's not right. So if I'm wrong, then what should my expression be?
Right. And you're saying, when you say right or wrong, is it right that I let it disappoint me, or am I right that it, I let
is
it kind
my
of
expression
okay oh right
right, right. You know, it obviously disappointment's going to happen,
but how I'm responding to this disappointment.
In Jonah's case, his disappointment was wrong, you know what I mean? Like, come on, dude, like you're angry at the fact that God didn't kill people.
Yes,
that's not right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so, but there are other discouragements and disappointments. I remember, you know, even in the Gospels, so everyone will deal with disappointments, right?
Yeah.
Jesus is God. Jesus was perfect, and yet Jesus still encountered disappointing circumstances. Yeah. How many times did he moan and lament, how long do I have to put up with you guys?
Right. You faithless generation.
Ye of little faith, right? You can hear him sighing.
Yeah.
In fact, the Bible records Jesus sighing many times. Yeah. Now, sometimes it was a sigh of just probably, okay, God, here we go. You know, like, let's do this, right? Because he was still human and living the human experience. But I, there were other sighs that were like, gosh, am I really having to deal with this? Yeah. You know, kind of like Jonah. Mm-hmm. When they beheaded John the Baptist, the Bible says Jesus went off by himself.
Yeah.
He didn't want to be around anyone. Mm-hmm. He wanted to mourn. That was his cousin.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, they're what, 3 months apart, 6 months apart, something like that. Yeah. I forget the math.
I think she's in her second
again, fact probably, check me in the comments. But I mean, yeah. Seriously, right? They're they're about the same age. Mm-hmm. Probably grew up around each other together.
Yeah.
It's his cousin.
Yeah.
You know, and so his cousin gets beheaded. This was a man of God, and he told the people there's no greater prophet than John the Baptist. And yet the least in the kingdom will be greater than him. We usually emphasize that. Yeah. But hey, pre the kingdom come, this is the greatest prophet to ever land on the planet.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
So his death was impactful to his cousin as well as to a respected ministry leader that now is looking at this situation, and he's disappointed. He goes off to be by himself, and the people follow him. And rather than rebuke the people, send them away, what does Jesus do? He gets outside of himself, and he ministers to people in the midst of his pain.
Right. Yeah.
And
sometimes
miracles
we just
happen.
Want to be up in our feels.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We just want to let our feels.
Well, and was Jesus right in taking some time away?
Yeah.
Absolutely. He was perfect, right? It was right that he go and grieve. It was right that he go and he sit in his feelings and process and all that kind of stuff. So you're not wrong. And I think that's what you're saying.
Yeah.
Are we wrong in being disappointed?
Right.
No.
Right.
Right? Jesus was perfect, and yet he was disappointed. And yet he went off to go and spend some time with God, pray, process the feelings, sit in them for a while and really direct his attention where it needed to be.
Yeah.
But then when the moment showed up that the people were following him and they came to him and found out where he was, what did he do? He had compassion.
Yeah. I remember when we lost our baby, Amaya, I was seeing a Christian counselor, and one of the things he told me to do, an exercise, was acknowledge what it is that you're feeling. Like, he was wanting for me to identify the area of grief. Like, what were you feeling? I was like, well, I mean, I was a dad to three. In my mind, I was a dad to four. I was like looking at minivans. Mm. These are the little things that are the tangible disappointment part.
Right.
Like, oh, now this won't happen. And now this won't happen. So there's the disappointment, how I'm processing. And so, again, the counselor's thought was grieve the parts. Right.
Mm.
What identify the area, what it exactly is that you're feeling and why you're feeling them.
Yeah.
And then what we can do is now I can respond accordingly.
I think it's important that you said that, because sometimes we don't know what we're really disappointed with. And
I would have never gone that. I would have never.
And it takes a counselor or a friend or prayer time and journaling to have someone outside of you and or all three, right?
Yeah.
Where it's the Holy Spirit, a friend and a counselor, you know, and you're able to finally identify what am I really disappointed about? Because sometimes we're in our fields and we don't even know.
Yeah. Because our expression is like you're kind of cool. Some people's expression of disappointment is anger. Outburst.
Yep.
You know, like you said, secluding themselves.
Yep.
What's it called? Self-sabotage.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if I can, like, but then you don't never really ask why you're.
Well, and I think that's where it's so important that we have others in our lives, because there's a powerful thing that takes place when someone else can look into us. You know, the Bible says a man of wisdom draws things out of the heart of another person, like water from a well, you know, they go deep with you. And it's a man of understanding and wisdom who can draw that out.
Yeah.
And I think that's where when people know us and when we know people, you know, when you, a strong marriage is important. You know, Jessica is my best friend. I talk to her about everything. And there's times that she'll call me out on stuff and I'm just like, I never thought of that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because it took a different perspective.
Yeah.
It took someone else, you know, and I oftentimes with our staff and, you know, you've been in the room, I'll just be talking about something because I'm processing sometimes. Okay. How are we feeling about this? What's going on here? What are we going to say or do, or how are we going to look at this situation? You know, And it's good to have those outside voices. You know, I have friends and people, I have mentors that I can call and, you know, that call me, mm-hmm. just check in on me and, yeah. and ask me questions about my life, things like that. And there are times where I've been able to, just recently I dealt with a discouraging season and, you know, disappointments in what I thought I should be seeing and what I was seeing, right?
Yeah.
And the two aren't reconciling. And it has taken a series of weeks and conversations mm-hmm. and prayer and all that kind of stuff to really refocus where should I be looking? What am I really going to be looking for and looking at? What's my goal?
Right.
You know, what's my aim and that sort of a thing. But I mean, it came with tremendous disappointment, mm-hmm. you know? And the devil has to play in those moments. Lying and tell you, well, then you should just give up. Yeah. You know, you're the wrong person for that. You need to get out of there.
Yeah.
And the extreme of that is just end your life. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a lie.
Yeah.
That is a blatant lie that the devil's trying to take you out. Mm-hmm. And so for those of you dealing with that, listening to this, recognize where the thoughts are coming from. And that's where power of someone else, whether it's a counselor, whether it's a friend. You know, we've got pastors that would love, if you're a member here, to connect with you and set up a time, that sort of a thing, you know, to get with the Holy Spirit and just pray and just say, show me God, right? And then have your pen and paper ready to go and you just journal that out. I mean, sometimes the things that come out of those moments, your friend and your counselor couldn't even, because God is the one that really sees everything in there, you know.
And he's revealing and he's
drawing it out, drawing it out, man, I tell you, and just starts opening things up and lighting up those dark places in us because it is dark.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about it, discouragement is a dark time, mm-hmm. isn't it? Mm-hmm. Depression is dark.
Yeah.
You know, when my wife dealt with depression for the first time, she likened it to being in a tunnel.
Right.
And she said that my voice was like on the other side that she could barely hear it. It sounded like it was just muffled. And I mean, I was one day I was straddling the bed yelling at her, come on, you know, is that extreme?
Yeah.
And yet it's what she needed in that moment. And so those are dark times that we need the light of God's word. Mm-hmm. We need the Holy Spirit. You know, we need a friend who sharpens our countenance and who brightens our appearance, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
We need those things in our lives to not tear someone down. And we need people that even if we do lash out the wrong way, that love us enough to be able to come in and encourage and to bring us up.
Mm-hmm. No, that's so good, Pastor. I think of the different scenarios that we can find ourselves in. And I know he's switching a little bit the topic here. You know, we've talked about the disappointments and some of it is it can... One of the ways out of that is having appreciation for our current season.
Yes.
Right. Instead of always thinking about the disappointment of our current season because then we live in this place where we're always trying to get somewhere else and then we can't fully be present. And you're, you know, we feel like it's a positive thing. We're taught it's a positive thing. We see that it's a positive thing to prepare for the future, to mm-hmm. be ready, to dream, to have vision.
Yeah.
But there's probably the line between getting out of hand of living in the clouds and then being present where our feet are.
Yeah.
And I was sharing with you the, you know, as a office guy, the Andy Bernard quote that many people will probably know is I wish there was a way to know that you were in the good old days before you were gone from those days, because it's just kind of known that oftentimes we'll live in the, either in the past or so far in the future.
Yeah.
And so what is a way of getting past disappointments, looking into what's in front of us, and heading forward?
Well, you know, again, Scripture gives us insight and wisdom into this. And you know, the Psalms, mm-hmm. there's some tremendous emotion. There's people who were disappointed, discouraged, people who are downright angry as they were writing these Psalms, you know. Mm-hmm. And so as you get into them, you'll notice there's some things that they pointed us to. I think of probably one of the greatest ones is, why so downcast, O my soul?
Yeah.
And that's a great question to ask. You talk about identifying.
Yeah.
And really the bigger question is not just where am I disappointed? The bigger question is why am I disappointed in this thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is it about a minivan?
Right. Right.
No, it's not. Right. It's not about a minivan. Yeah. It's about a child.
Right.
That's significant.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But then even with that, if we have a greater expression, a greater focus, which, you know, the future focus would be, I have a child and this and that. Mm-hmm. The greater focus, though, because the end of that statement is, why so downcast on my soul? Put your hope in God.
That's good.
Right? Mm-hmm. And when we have a God focus on life, it helps us to be present in the now mm-hmm. and even to be able to process and progress through pain.
Yeah.
Because when God is with you, mm-hmm. I can go through anything. right? Yeah. If God be for me, who can be against me?
Yeah.
If God is on my side, what can man do to me, right? There's a lot of things that we maybe grace over in the scriptures, yeah. and yet God is saying, hey, you know, forget the former things. I'll do a new thing,
right?
Right?
Yeah.
Don't look back, right? Yeah. It was just quoted that the only woman that Jesus mentions is Lot's wife, and it's just remember Lot's wife. Three words about her, right? And really, yeah. it's to not look back because
yeah.
you'll get stuck in the past. Yeah. What you lost, what disappointment yeah. was, what discouragement, what's not there, you know? Yeah. And that's the sort of thing that if you can just focus on God, on yeah. eternity, you know, I think for a parent who's lost a child, our hope is that, my goodness, they're in my future. They're mm-hmm. not in my past,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And that's one of those great encouragements to us. Mm-hmm. The other thing is just, you know, when you take a look at the psalmist, there were psalmists that were discouraged with the world around
yeah.
them, with the wicked prospering, that sort of a thing. And he says, I was frustrated, upset, ready to quit, right? Yeah. He says, until something happened. What happened? He went to church.
Yeah.
He says, until I went to the house of God, and when I got in the house of God, then I realized their end.
Yes.
Right? I realized where that path leads to. Mm-hmm. They can have everything on this earth,
yeah.
and if they don't have God, if they don't have Jesus, they don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I can have nothing on this earth,
yeah.
go through all this pain, but if I have Jesus, I have everything.
You know, I think of a car that gets stuck in the mud.
Mm.
Well, now I have, if I'm stuck, finding yourself stuck, well, you got to hitch yourself something to something. Mm-hmm. Am I going to hitch myself onto something that's going to pull me out where there's hope? I'm attaching myself to hope.
That's very good.
To a future that will pull me out of here, get me out of this place. Or am I going to attach myself to something that's going to only weigh me down, take me further down? Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. when someone is in a depression state or feels hopeless, it's because there's no hope attached.
Right.
So that's why we have to attach ourselves to the hope, to the idea this isn't forever.
Yeah.
And so even if that first step is, man, I don't see how it's going to happen, just say, but it's going to. You know, there's hope that this won't be forever. And when we do that, I know that things will flourish. In closing, Pastor Dan, any last thoughts on any really of the, you know, putting a button on some of the things that we touched yeah. on? I know we...
Well, I think the biggest thing is that we have to remember that God is our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd,
yeah.
right? And when we think about that we're downcast, I heard this decades ago. Downcast was a word about a sheep who had gotten flipped over. Mm-hmm. And because of the way the sheep's body constitution is, the gases and everything within them start to kind of switch around yeah. and it puts a paralysis. Mm-hmm. The danger of downcast, the danger of getting discouraged and sitting in that state yeah. upside down is that you can get paralyzed in that position.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about Abraham's father. His name was Terah. Terah was traveling and he was on his way to Canaan, which we know Abram was called to go to Canaan. But Terah's son, Nahor, had died.
Mm-hmm.
And it says that Terah made it to the place, there was a city called Nahor, which is interesting. Like yeah. this is the yeah. place that bears the name of his son. It says he stayed there. And there in that place that bore the name of his son, it says Terah dies. It's just like a little, mm-hmm. almost a sub note yeah. in the story of Abraham.
Yeah.
But God was obviously moving this family towards destiny.
Right.
He was obviously doing something in that moment, but discouragement came to Terah.
Yeah.
And Terah got stuck in the place that bore the name of his son. Mm-hmm. He got downcast and he yeah. got paralyzed right. in that position and it took him out.
Mm-hmm.
And then Abraham, the next verse after yeah. Terah died, now Abraham had yeah. been called by God to go to the place that he would show him, right?
Yeah.
And Abram moves on with the destiny and the purpose that God had for this right. family that he's going to bring the nation, going to bring the Messiah out of, yeah. right? We, if we get paralyzed
mm-hmm.
in that position, it'll take us out.
Right.
Out of our destiny, out of our future. And so the way to get a sheep out of being downcast is just to flip them right side up.
Yeah.
It's basically, yeah, you just flip them over, the gases, yeah. everything goes where it needs yeah. to go, and then they can happily, you know, go off yeah. and eat and all that kind of stuff. And that's why it's important for us to stay close to the shepherd.
So good.
Right? Because if you read Psalm 23, it's a,
I know.
I mean,
yeah.
beautiful. It's probably the most quoted psalm,
yeah.
if you will. Every movie has it at a funeral
yeah.
For a purpose, mm-hmm. for a reason. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads yeah. me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Right? Talk about mental health.
Yep, yep.
He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though yeah. I walk through the valley
yeah.
of the shadow of death. Yeah. We don't camp out there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get paralyzed and stuck and get
yeah.
taken out.
Yeah.
We go through. I'll fear no evil. Yeah. Why? For you're with me.
Yeah.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, right? Fullness, all that that we need.
Yeah. So good. And you said, stay by the shepherd.
Goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, and you'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's that focus. If we have a God focus in our life, discouragements will come. Absolutely. Acknowledge them. Find out what. Why so downcast, right? What's the real root of this thing? Get with the Holy Spirit. Get with a good friend. Get with a counselor.
Yeah.
Whatever you need to do. Process that, but then stay close to God. Get into his house. Get into his presence and let him lead you. Man, it's gonna work out. It's going to be okay.
Amen. Hey, can you pray over us?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Father, we thank you, God, that you're with us in all things, God, even in the discouragements. God, I love the beauty of your scripture that says that you're near to the brokenhearted and that you gather every tear in a vial. God, how precious, Lord. And so, Father, I know that there are people listening to this podcast, viewing this podcast, that are in a time of discouragement, some depressed, some distressed, God. Some of them are identifying those things, maybe suicidal thoughts. Maybe they've identified the escape mechanisms that they've gone to and pressure releases that are potentially ungodly or harmful to their future, God. And I pray for the downcast. I pray for the discouraged, God. I pray for the depressed and the distressed, God, that right now, Lord God, as the great shepherd, God, that you put them right side up, God, that they stay near to your heart, God. They stay near to your house, Lord. And that, Father, if they don't have someone else in their lives that can be that friend that sharpens their countenance, God, that you would bring godly people, faithful friends in their lives, God, that they can identify and that they can work through this with the help of your Holy Spirit, God. And I pray that you bless them, God, and that you lift their heads, God. And that you show them the focus, the God focus that they need to have, the not just the future focus, but the faith and the heavenly focus that they need to have, God. And so, Lord, I just pray, God, that peace that surpasses all understanding would guard their hearts and their minds as they present their requests to you, as they pray, God, as they get that time with you, Lord, and that they would just feel your presence and your peace, God, in their lives, Lord, even in the midst of disappointment and discouragement. We love you, God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, thanks again for staying tuned. Hey, I know we talked a little bit weighty topics today. Maybe they're triggering for you or brought some stuff up. Reach out to us.
Yeah.
Email, call us. We'd love to serve you in any way we can. Pray with you. We are here for you. We love you. God bless you. Like, comment, share, subscribe. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you.